This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
So classless, I just don't even like going there. NC State is just mean to each other, to us and each other.
It's the same people that will step all over us.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
A nice chill vibe to come back after a couple of days. It's the Adam Gold Show. Everybody's coming back.
Yeah, we're all here now.
You weren't here yesterday and the day before, right, Dennis Cox?
Oh, I did the NFL City Tour.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Getting Dennis was back was good.
Wait a second. You haven't left.
I guess, pseudo. I actually had to stop in here yesterday. We had like our health fair thing.
We did. I was here yesterday as well.
Yeah, to stop by for that. I was like,
little finger stick.
Yeah.
You know, take a little blood.
Glucose levels looked good.
Oh, my triglycerides are phenomenal.
My cholesterol, extremely low.
Oh, very good.
In a good way.
Very good. So, all the vitals checked out, which means this show will probably stay intact, barring other things, for at least we won't, like, keel over during the show. Which
I don't know.
I'm sure there are people rooting for that, but that's another story altogether. Can I offer
They're
just...
They're classless.
We're going to get to that. Can I offer just one bit of advice?
Okay.
When you take PTO.
Yeah.
Take PTO! do it! Do it!
Our good friend Joe Ovius, when I was here yesterday for the health fair, saw me. He's like, why do I hear you on the radio?
Every day.
You're supposed to be on PTO.
Every day.
I was like, well, the NFL City
it's fine.
Thing was like, you know.
It's fine.
Okay.
These can be recorded.
This is very true.
All right, no. Look, regardless, you just gotta unplug.
You know, well, that's the thing. I had to unplug from my Xbox for a bit, so I figured I would do something productive.
You don't have to be productive. You're on PTO.
That's fair.
All right. Yesterday we were also here for health fair, so that's cool. I'm not any taller than I was a year ago, which is probably understandable. I think at this point I've stopped growing up.
Yeah.
Right. We'll leave the rest of it. But yesterday was also my 17th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
So
look at you, sir. Congratulations.
Yeah. So we had an absolutely spectacular day. I don't know what we have done to deserve the weather that you can actually go outside and breathe in.
Yeah.
I have no idea. What did we do? It was like 78 degrees. It was cloudy because I think it was supposed to rain yesterday, but it really didn't.
No.
And there was a little breeze. We ate lunch outside. I had a glass of wine.
Oh, look at you.
At 12:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Look at you.
I cannot remember ever having done that.
That's a flex. That is a flex, sir.
I had a glass of a white wine blend.
Mm.
I can't remember the last time I had white wine. At 12:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Look at you.
That in and of itself, at my advanced age, we rarely drink. What a day.
Look at you.
What a day. An absolutely beautiful day with my wife, and it was just a thrill to not talk on the radio while I'm on PTO.
To each their own.
All right. I did apparently miss something major, so let's start. So, normally, when I'm not here, I miss amazing stories.
Yeah.
It's like a magnet. Gold's on PTO.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody's getting fired. Some franchise is relocating.
Someone got traded. So,
but all sorts of crazy stuff happens when I'm not here. So, apparently, the huge news story that I missed is that North Carolina's women's basketball coach, mm-hmm. Courtney Bangart, called NC State fans classless. That's not in the top million things that happened while I was off for a couple of days. Here's Courtney Bangart on a podcast called The Tar Heel Show, which is hosted by, I think, somebody named, who calls himself British Tar Heel.
Yep.
But like, I think there are other people involved in the podcast as well. I'm not 100% familiar with it, but here's Bangart talking about State fans.
I hate both of them more than probably I should, because I don't have the history that everybody else has. Duke is a national and international rivalry that I love. NC uh-huh. State fans are so classless. I just don't even like going there, right? So I don't know. It's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Both the same?
But the same. Equally.
That's amazing.
I have more respect for Duke, but I like beating them because they're more relevant. NC State is just mean to each other, to us and each other.
All right. That's just a whatever, right? That's just essentially playing the hits for fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not in any way. It's the first time I've heard the Tar Heel Show. I know of it, and I know people who know, I guess, George is British Tar Heel. His name is George. And I know people who know it. It's a fun, fan-centric podcast.
Yeah.
Right? And that's like tons of other podcasts.
Oh, there's a lot of, I call them Homer shows.
That's fine. I don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, and that's fine.
They speak to an audience, mm-hmm. and they lap up stuff that Courtney Bangart said. So I had no issue with it at all. And this just in for the people who are scoring at home. Every single fan base, 100% across the board, has a classless wing. Every one of them. Tar Heels, there is a Tar Heel wing. There is a classless wing of the Tar Heel fan base that, other than the flags outside of their home, are identical to the classless wing of the NC State fan base. Every fan base has a classless wing. Every fan base has an enlightened wing. The one that feels that their squad, their school, their athletic department is better. The athletes are better students. Their program does it the right way. Every single fan base, without fail. Every fan base has a normal wing, right? The centrists. I keep hearing about them. I'm not sure that they exist. But every fan base has a normal wing. Courtney Bangart did nothing wrong. She said nothing wrong. She was on a podcast speaking indirectly to fans. She didn't need to apologize to anybody. But if her bosses, and I'm assuming that her bosses, maybe Bubba Cunningham, I don't know, said, hey, that's not good. We need you to apologize for it. If her bosses wanted her to apologize, then so be it. But who cares that she went on a fan podcast and slammed fans of the rival school?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were there inaccuracies there? Sure. NC State women's basketball is absolutely not nationally irrelevant. They're kicking everybody's ass, pretty much, except for like two schools. Actually, except for one school last year.
Yeah.
Except for Connecticut, when they had to play on the road as the top seed in the East Regional. But they've been doing very well against Louisville, the other behemoth in the league.
Yeah. They've won three straight ACC
right.
titles.
Look, so they're not irrelevant. But again, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whether they are or not. It just doesn't matter. Why was this a story?
The name calling. That's really what it was.
So
the
name.
I'm with you. Here's the thing for me. Like, the apology, I don't care. I don't care about your apology because guess what? We already know how you feel.
Yeah, but
your apology means nothing to me.
Or anybody. It doesn't mean anything to me because the statement didn't mean anything to me.
Exactly.
The initial statement calling NC State fans classless. Again, she ain't wrong, but she's also not talking about all of them.
Yeah.
And she could have inserted Clemson for NC State or, heck, Maryland, the most classless. Actually, that's what I believe. I believe that 95% of the Maryland fan base is classless.
I would not disagree with
you. Yeah. I went there. I know all of it. Look, nothing could be less of a story than this, but I assume everybody had fun talking about it. Because I'm sure new ground was broken, and I'm sure all of the problems with fan bases and fan-centric media were solved.
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. But you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. So while I was actually taking PTO.
Oh.
And not, well, this is Saturday. I wasn't even on PTO yet. The Carolina Panthers played a football game. And they played a football game against the Washington Commandos for some reason on a Saturday afternoon in D.C. And I watched part of it. I watched the beginning of it. I watched the series featuring the two quarterbacks, the two series featuring the quarterbacks in question. And it was kind of hard not to like what you saw. There were some there were some negatives. There were definitely some drawbacks. But I had to. I liked very much. I liked Baker Mayfield, and I also liked Sam Darnold. I thought both guys were good in the in their series. Did Darnold get a second series?
I think he did because the first one
started
at like the 19-yard line.
So he got a second series. But I like both guys. A couple of quick observations. I thought Baker Mayfield did exactly what they wanted him to do. Yes, they only got a field goal out of the drive, but I don't think it was his fault at all. Their offensive line was not awesome, right? In the for either quarterback, to be honest. But I thought Baker did a very good job. I thought that while ever so slightly underthrown, his pass to Robbie Anderson in the I guess down the seam should have been caught, hit Anderson in the hands. I'm not saying that it would have been an easy catch. I would not say it was a clear drop, but if you are a top 50 wide receiver in the NFL, I think you make that catch. Top 50 is not crazy. One of the top two wide receivers on every team. That's not bananas. I think Robbie Anderson needs to make that catch. But it was a slight underthrow. If it's out in front, I think Anderson has an easier time with it, but he had to hesitate a little bit. Either way, I thought well played on the part of Baker Mayfield. And then Sam Darnold came in after the turnover, which, did we ever replay that? That ball looked like it came. I mean, I didn't see a replay definitively that said it was out before. Like, it looked to me like that ball squirted out after the play should have been blown dead. But who cares? It's a preseason game.
Yeah.
The touchdown pass from Darnold to Rashard Higgins, right? Super throw. Super throw. And because I went back and watched it again, I actually missed the first couple of plays of that series. So I went back, I saw the touchdown pass, and then I rewound it and watched a couple of plays. in the second viewing of that touchdown pass, Ike Ekwonu did get kind of manhandled by, Montez Sweat?
Yeah, sounds right.
He did get pushed all the way back into Darnold, but all that did was make the throw even that much better. I thought Darnold looked good, like legitimately good. Both quarterbacks looked good, so I thought there was a lot to like about the initial part of that game. Here's David Newton from ESPN on the heated battle.
I really do believe it's Baker Mayfield's job to lose. The Panthers know what Sam Darnold could do. He started for them last year. He went 4-7. They've seen the previous 3 years there. But Baker Mayfield, they just need to see what he can do, how much he can grasp at this offense. And so far, that's been the key. Now, Baker was not sharp today at all. He started off 1-for-6 and throwing against the DBs. He also started off 3-for-10 when he had the 2-minute drill. But he also made big plays, and that's what they like. He can make the big plays, stretch the field, and the Panthers need that. They haven't had that in their offense for a while. So unless he implodes here over the final week, I think the job is his.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, even though I think Darnold was probably better against the Commandos. That was after the first joint practice with the Patriots yesterday. They're having another one today. I'm hoping there will not be a brawl.
I hope not either.
There was a fracas.
Yes.
Scuffles. At the end of yesterday's joint practices. Here's the thing. What David Newton is saying is basically what we have been saying for a while. It's really Baker's job to lose. He has to be bad to lose it. This is not a knock on... Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. It's a knock on Sam, because it's a knock on Sam that they went and brought in Baker Mayfield, because there are very few people that believe that Baker Mayfield is the long-term answer. He is simply an upgrade. Everything we have seen from both quarterbacks through training camp and the first game only cements that Baker Mayfield really isn't the long-term answer. So, I'm not going to say I'll be surprised if he's the starting quarterback next year, but that would necessitate a new contract, and he's probably not working on a one-year deal. So, I'm going to be surprised if he's the starting quarterback next year. I'm not sure the starting quarterback is on the roster. I mean, maybe it's Matt Corral. I don't know. I thought that Baker was good. I thought Darnold was probably a shade better. But I also think that Baker will have to stink to not be the starting quarterback. The bigger issue, the bigger story for me came out of yesterday in that Ike Ekwonu, who I didn't think was awesome against the Commandos, Ike Ekwonu was named the starter at left tackle. Here's the head coach, Matt Rhule.
We wanted Ike to play and put it on tape in a game before we put him with the ones. I don't know, lots of people have asked me that, you know, but, you know, we wanted him to go in a game and play and then earn, you know, sort of, hey, with his play. And so he played well in the game. And so these are valuable reps for him. So, you know, there were some plays that were good, probably. There's some plays I know that weren't very good. So, you know, he's going against Judon. They got good players over there. So it's a good rep for him.
Is the idea good or bad today rolling with him at first team left back?
Yeah, I think that's where we are moving forward. I think Brady's probably one of our most improved players on this team. And so MJ, Brady, they'll continue to battle it out. MJ and then Brady can also play out at left tackle. So getting Dennis back was good. So we have some depth right now. We'll hope that Bozeman's not out too long.
Yeah, I would like to see Brady Christensen play left guard. Michael Jordan on one of the Baker Mayfield completions essentially got driven straight back into Baker. Like, what? I mean... He looked like he was on wheels. He got pushed back. He was like a blocking sled. All right, I want to get a couple of other things in here before we start. Nada, the scribe, is going to join us. We'll talk about the Panthers. We'll talk about a couple of other things. He is based in Charlotte, so obviously they're all talking about the Panthers there.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
But I wanted to just bring up two quick golf things. Patrick Reed is suing Brandel Chambly and the Golf Channel for defamation. I could be wrong here, so I'll need a ruling here. Doesn't one have to have character in order to sue for its defamation? Isn't that a prerequisite for defamation of character?
Yeah.
Right? Your character must be besmirched. If somebody is speaking negatively about Patrick Reed, I put that in the category of truth-telling. Did any of us need Brandel Chambly or Golf Channel to remind us that Reed has had too many episodes of cheating on tour? No. Nobody needed us to remind us that. Nobody needed Brandel Chambly to remind us that. Also in the lawsuit, which is like $750 million. Yeah.
Okay.
Chambly, according to Reed, according to the attorney, Chambly is accused of causing the tour to ban Patrick Reed. Oh. The lawsuit's assertion is that Reed was kicked off the PGA Tour and then signed with LIV.
Ah, see, he did it because it's the only place he could go.
Right.
Ah, okay.
It's the opposite. This lawsuit will never make it to a court.
No.
It will be thrown out because it is utterly baseless. All right, now the big story from yesterday was Tiger Woods trying to save the PGA Tour, and I use those terms loosely. It is pretty clear that in spite of the fact that he has played twice since last February, Tiger is golf's greatest asset still. He was offered $750 million by the public investment fund of Saudi Arabia to join what is now known as LIV Golf. $750 million, and they knew he probably wouldn't be able to play. They knew it. Tiger is not the same Tiger today that he was 15 years ago when he was trying to compete and win majors. He's still doing that, but he is a different human being today than he was 15 or so years ago. He is not singularly focused on winning and destroying and keeping everybody away. He lets people in. He has deep friendships on tour that he really never had. Bob Harrig of Sports Illustrated on what Tiger might be able to do to help the tour.
I'll be honest with you, that's what I've been trying to figure out all day. Like, what can Tiger really do? I mean, his influence is immense. He's obviously very well respected. This generation of players really looks up to him. So many of these guys idolized him, and they see him as the player who that they looked up to, that they strived to be or beat. And so his words carry a lot of weight. But they also don't pay a single dollar. And the amount of money that's being offered is so incredible. And then you throw in the fact that there's a fundamental issue, no matter which side of this you are on, whether you love LIV or hate LIV. And believe me, it is polarizing unlike anything I've seen. You know, maybe the Tiger of 15, 20 years ago was polarizing. This is different. And the bottom line is LIV is offering guaranteed money.
Yeah. That is the difference. LIV, well, there's a lot of differences, but in terms of the finances, the money is up front. The money is promised. PGA Tour money is not promised. It is earned. And I remember a day where golf fans was like, that's the best part about golf. If you don't play well, you don't get anything. And many of those same people are all about guaranteed money. Like, you know what? The mental gymnastics that you have to go through to get to that point, that's fine, man. Whatever floats your boat. As for Tiger, this Tiger relishes the role that he now plays. I don't think there's any question that this Tiger Woods relishes the Nicklas Palmer position that he holds in the game. That it's not just, I mean, he's friends with so many of these guys. He's very close with Justin Thomas, very close with Rory McIlroy. Like really good friends with these guys. And there's constant communication. And they have been two of the most important players, current players, to the PGA Tour in this stretch. And Tiger is still the needle in golf, even though he doesn't play.
Yeah.
And Tiger knows what Greg Norman is trying to do through LIV Golf. Norman is trying to destroy the PGA Tour. He's trying to take it over. Maybe not the tour itself, but he's trying to take the best players, and Norman believes that the way to do that is by promising them money. And I think it will work with some players. It will not work with most players. Because, and I don't know why this has been forgotten here, Will Zalatoris, I believe, has earned more than $8 million on the golf course this year.
Yeah.
He won once. He has earned more than $8 million on the golf course this year. That's not what he could earn, you know, in a year playing for LIV, but we are acting as though golfers are destitute if they don't take LIV money. That is not the case. It is just not true. So there's plenty of money to be earned on the PGA Tour playing there. And that is where the people who make their mark in the sport, that's where they play. So if these guys, if you want to just play for money, that's fine. And you can go to LIV and nobody will be upset about that. Seriously, nobody's going to, if Cam Smith, the second-ranked player in the world now, if he wants to go play on the LIV Tour, that's fine, go. It's okay. It really is okay if he wants to do that. What Tiger is arguing for, fighting for, McIlroy, Thomas, the same thing, is simply that the PGA Tour has a right to make and enforce their own rules. That's all that's happened. And a Northern California judge agreed. The PGA Tour has the right to enforce their rules. As a result of that, it will be interesting to see how many of these players who are playing LIV Golf will play majors in the next 2 years or 3 years. That is a reality. What happens to them if they can't? And I think it's more likely than not that most of those players will not.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.